Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The hit political drama The West Wing ran for 7 seasons, depicting the lives of White House staffers. It's one of the most influential series of all time. The series ended in 2006, but its loyal following has made sure it's never been forgotten. Since ending, there have been many calls to bring the show back, and that hasn't happened yet. But the cast did regroup for the midterm elections, if you haven't heard this, and now a public service announcement has emerged from the cast of The West Wing.
So no wonder Republicans are purging hundreds of thousands from the voter rolls.
No wonder they want to bring back poll taxes from the darkest days of the civil rights struggle to shut college students out of our democracy.
In some places, they want to force people to fax in copies of their ID just to register.
What is a fax?
Why stop there?
Why not make people do handstands?
Voting should be about determining the will of the majority, notwithstanding some crazy bureaucracy.
It's wrong to invent obstacles so college students,
people of color, seniors who might vote against you can't vote at all.
So let's send a message to politicians.
Let America vote.
I'm Allison f***ing Janney and I won an Oscar. Now let America vote.
So that little bit of activism from various cast members from The West Wing, did you recognize any of those voices, like Allison Janney ending the ad? Joining me now to discuss the Let America Vote campaign is Emmy Award-winning actor Bradley Whitford. West Wing fans, as you know, he won that award for his role as Joseph Lyons, White House Deputy Chief of Staff in that political drama. Bradley, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes. Welcome to WNYC.
I love WNYC.
Thanks.
So, miss you.
So the cast, you mean you used to live in New York and you've moved away?
Yes. Yeah. I lived in New York for many years.
There was this little thing called the internet where you could still listen, you know. But anyway, the cast came together for this project. How did that come about?
It came about, Let America Vote was something, I initially got involved in Let America Vote. I'm from Wisconsin. Wisconsin, the voter disenfranchisement that has been going on there, it's like it's Alabama in 1963. It is absolutely unacceptable what is going on in Wisconsin. Trump won by 22,000. 65,000 people voted for Jill Stein, but between 50,000 and 100,000 people were disenfranchised, most of them, by the way, people of color in Milwaukee. And ironically, I was talking to an organizer in Milwaukee. You can imagine how frustrated they are when Wisconsin, with all these disenfranchised voters of color, the whole discussion afterwards is, we really got to listen to these white people.
It's right. It's really one of the biggest stories of this election year is the disenfranchisement scandals that are really being revealed in various states. You mentioned Wisconsin. There's that story from North Dakota where Native Americans are being disenfranchised in North Dakota because they changed the election law there to require a street address for voter registration. And disproportionately, Native Americans there don't have street addresses. You mentioned Georgia, the latest thing out of there, where, of course, the state secretary of state is the Republican candidate for governor, so has had power over, in effect, allegedly tilting the scales toward his own election. Or if you haven't voted for a while, you get kicked off the rolls, and that has disproportionately affected African-American voters. So disenfranchisement and lifting the veil on it is, no matter how these elections turn out, Bradley, one of the biggest stories of this midterm election season.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Now, listen, I think it's also very important to acknowledge that it wasn't voter disenfranchisement that made the left not show up in 2014, which put Mitch McConnell in charge and lost us 2 Supreme Court seats. We, on our side, we have to show up. We have to continue to fight this voter disenfranchisement. But we must not despair and dissolve into the cynicism of the system is corrupt and what we do doesn't matter. It is an insult to the leaders of the civil rights movement who were facing far worse voter disenfranchisement, far worse institutional exclusion from the process. So we have to hold two opposing thoughts at once. We must fight against this disenfranchisement, and we must get people out to vote and not lose faith in the system.
And on this Let America Vote campaign, I see the founder of the organization is Jason Kander, Afghanistan war veteran and Missouri's former Secretary of State. And here's 30 seconds of Jason Kander talking about the campaign.
We've already had this argument in America. American heroes marched across a bridge in Selma for the simple idea that all of us count. They faced down batons and dogs and hoses, and we're not supposed to have to deal with this anymore. But we do. And it would be easier to pretend that we don't. It would be easier to talk about this as if it's just a matter of our history. But it's coming back right now, and it's happening right now.
So I think this is a really key point, because I think that the reason we're in the political position we're in today is a false sense of confidence that the war of the fight for civil rights, the fight for gender equality, for marriage equality, was over. It will not be over ever. We're still fighting in this voter rights fight. We are still fighting the same civil rights battle. We need to remain vigilant. It is not over, and it will not be over. Don't expect it to be.
My guest is Bradley Whitford, here in the context of his legacy as a cast member on The West Wing, because the cast of The West Wing got together and cut that Let America Vote campaign anti-disenfranchisement spot that that we played earlier. But Bradley, as a lot of our listeners will know, you've also been in Get Out, that great film, and also The Handmaid's Tale. Is it a coincidence or something that you do purposely that you wind up in, you know, some of these very politically and socially driven projects?
Honestly, I think it's kind of a coincidence. I am phenomenally lucky in that way. I mean, Handmaid's Tale, I'm about to go off and shoot a bunch of those, and for me it's like getting a shot, like a guest shot in The Godfather 2. I mean, I love that show so much. It's an amazing, all of these things, Get Out, West Wing, have been amazing creative experiences. And I'm proud of the fact that that they're able to say something culturally important at the moment. But I think it's just luck. I don't sit around with 10 million options and go, hey, I'm going to do the most, you know, civically responsible one. That's not how it works. Hmm.
So you were Josh Lyman in The West Wing. Why do you think that series has been so enduring? There's currently, even today, this is 12 years after the show went off the air, something like that, there's a dedicated podcast.
Bizarre, because when we did this show, the only possibility was that it would be, there would be a rerun once. It never occurred to any of us that there would even be a vehicle for it to be seen again. I think it becomes at this moment a kind of progressive porn. I think that there's something reassuring about it. I don't go back and watch. I really have not. Truly, there's a bunch of them I have never seen, just because I don't know, I'm vain and it's creepy to see yourself. The issues I remember we were dealing with gun control, we were dealing with Republican dishonesty about budget issues. I mean, the fakest thing about that show was we had totally rational Republicans. I mean, we would never in a million years, it would have been condescending to write Republicans with the kind of unvarnished cynicism with which they are functioning right now.
Letting your partisan preferences hang right out there. Would you say does it turn? We just have a minute left, but does it turn? Do you worry that with the cast of West Wing getting together for this anti-disenfranchisement campaign, that it seems partisan, which to some degree it is, and to that it, you know, turns off people out there because they go, oh, Hollywood.
Bunch of Hollywood people?
Yeah.
Do I worry about that? Yeah. Do I work on, like, campaigns and do I say to them, you probably don't, it's not going to help you to have a predictable Hollywood liberal say something? But these are things that that I believe in. I understand. Often people will come after us and say, well, you should be quiet. And I don't know, my response is there's nothing less democratic than telling people to shut up, so they should shut up. And here's the thing that I want to say about what people in this particular case, we're not advocating for anything that will help us. The real problem is that our entire political system is under the heel of people who are advocating for their own interests, the Koch brothers. Well, nobody in Hollywood is out there saying, hey, you know what, we need to get film credits in your state so that we can make more money. So I get a little, I'm very proud of the people in Hollywood who are speaking up about voter disenfranchisement, about climate change, and are using this, the power that we have to give voice to issues that don't get the voice that they deserve today. And, of course, we have a guy who, you know, a spray tan guy who runs a reality show as president of the United States. So if they want us to, if they think we're an uninformed celebrity, they need to look in the mirror.
Bradley Whitford, who together with other former West Wing cast members with last names like Janney and Schiff and Hill and Sheen and Smits have gotten together for a Let America Vote campaign spot, a little mini West Wing reunion on behalf of that cause. Thanks so much for some time, Bradley. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks to your listeners. I appreciate it.